All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Father, we just ask that you would help us, God, to see clearly, Father, your way and walk in it, Lord. Help us, Father, I pray, to keep our understanding simple and wise, Lord, that we may know how to give an answer, Father, of the simplicity that's in the Word of God. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us again. Thank you for our Lord that gave his life as a ransom for us, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to again greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk about prophecy. I remember whenever I was growing up, we had preachers that came and they were prophecy experts. And they'd come and they'd start in the book of Daniel or somewhere and they'd take all these verses and tie them up into Revelation somehow and come out with this plan of how everything was going to happen in the future and talk about the Antichrist coming and a temple being rebuilt in Jerusalem and this, they talked about the bear and that Russia is the bear that comes down and China's going to have a 2 million people army that's going to come across and there's going to be a big battle in the Battle of Armageddon. And they would explain all of these things and how they were all going to take place. And people would just come and listen for a week at a time. They'd hold week meetings about prophecy. And everyone would go away just really in awe about how all these things are going to happen. And they were looking for all these things to be fulfilled. But very seldom was any lives changed. They understood and learned to feel like they were understanding the Bible. And I'm not saying that some of those things might not happen. But that's not what a prophet did in the Bible. A prophet in the Bible was simply a seer. Someone who was able to see what was happening and react to it and try to warn the people of what was coming. So this morning, I want us to just look and I want to just show you some things that the Bible says are going to happen so that you can prepare yourselves for them to happen. Not so that you can go away with a idea or a thought that you have the Bible now figured out and you have an understanding of prophecy, but in such a way maybe that it ought to humble us to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Let's turn in our Bibles, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Isn't that the goal? That we might be accepted of Him? Whereby we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Part of the explanation that these people that are prophets, supposedly, that go around teaching prophecy, one of the only ways that their prophecy will fit together is whenever they divide the judgments into two judgments. And one of the verses that they use, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In Revelation, we'll come back here, but hold on to that. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're told by these prophets, false prophets, that these are two different judgments. That one of them is for people who are saved, and they're going to be judged about all the good they've done and just receive their rewards. And the other is where the sinners will be judged. But in both of these verses, it talks about all men. Both small and great will stand before God, and every man will be judged according to their works. There's not two different judgment seats. There's one. And we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne, whatever you want to call it. We're still going to all stand before that great white throne and give an account of everything that we've ever done. Our lives, in fact, we're going to be judged. It's not going to be up to our opinion. It's not going to be up to what we thought. We're going to be judged, every man, according to his works. For we must all appear before the judge, back in Corinthians here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also that ye are made manifest in your consciences. See, this judgment in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is what they call the Bema seat of Christ. And that's supposedly going to be different than the great white throne judgment. But verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. They would say, well, that's just talking about Christians. But verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's talking about people we're trying to warn about the judgment seat of Christ. And then we go on with the white throne, talking about that and how they fit together, that they're in the books of life, those that are written, the things that men were doing that were according to life, and who was not found written in that was cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a judgment. However you look at it, there's going to be a judgment. And I don't believe men are prepared for what that's going to be. I don't believe people are prepared for that. You know, whenever we've got to use a sign on the street, America's Jesus is Antichrist. America's Jesus is Antichrist. People say, well, where's the scripture for that? Last night a man just threw a fit because we couldn't put that one little phrase to a scripture where it was a direct quote from the Bible. There's going to be a lot of people that are quoting a lot of Bible verses that are going to go straight to hell because they don't have enough vision to see what's happening. They've got to have a Bible verse for everything. And they take those one Bible verse as a proof text so that they can prove what they'll just take one verse and prove what they're trying to say. But if you look at the Bible and you just take it for what it says and you come up with a different Jesus than what this book is explaining, it's an antichrist. I don't care how many verses you can quote. Whenever, if you don't compare them with the verses of who Jesus is, you've missed it. People in Jesus' time were looking for a king to return, to set up his kingdom on the earth. And they thought that they would be just set free from the Jews, and he would just set up this kingdom on the earth. And they were all looking for this powerful king to rise up. Maybe they thought someone would be like a David and get their armies together. And they'd rise up against the Roman Empire and just slay them. And then put the Romans to a tax. Or maybe kill them all so that the nation of Israel would rise again. But when Jesus came, he wasn't like that. He came as a man. And they all missed him. They missed him. Because the Jesus they were looking for was not the Jesus that they had in, that the scriptures were telling would come. The Jesus they were looking for, the Jesus they had imagined in their mind, that was going to be coming, whenever it turned out and it didn't fit the Jesus of their own imagination, they rejected him. Because it didn't fit with what the Pharisees were telling them. It didn't fit with what they had thought and who they thought Jesus was. So that when he came, they missed him. He came teaching them, trying to warn them that the kingdom wasn't going to be that he was going to establish, wasn't going to be a king of a nation where they killed all those who didn't believe. He taught that his kingdom was in men's hearts, that men would change. And men would learn to dwell and live in righteousness and doing what he wanted them to do. That men would turn from their way to his way. That men would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and not their own. And they missed him. Because they were looking for a different Jesus than what appeared. Today, what do you think's happening? What do you think's happening and going on today? The same thing. People are looking for a Jesus that is a Jesus of their own imagination. People are looking for a Jesus that's full of love. People are looking for a Jesus that is just loves everyone. They're looking for a Jesus that's going to be coming back and he's just going to be full of healing. And he's just so full of compassion that he couldn't hurt a flea. And that he, just all he cares about is how bad you're suffering. And all the prophets are teaching and preaching Don't be so harsh. That's not what Jesus did. Don't be a judge. Don't say what people are doing is wrong, because that's not what Jesus did. And everyone's looking and going to be looking for this Jesus that never says anything bad about what anything or anyone is doing, that He is only love. Well, let's look at what kind of Jesus is coming back. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. All these people that are evangelists, supposedly, all these people that are supposedly evangelists going around trying to teach people that God just loves them. Whenever Paul was going around trying to teach people, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, is that the same Jesus? Is that the Jesus that's going to come back? Is that the Jesus you're looking for? There's going to be a lot of people surprised. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7. Oh. Verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them which know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. When Jesus returns, it's going to be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but God is love. God is love. He is. But it ain't the kind of love you're looking for. When He returns, all those poor, hurting sinners are going to be receiving vengeance because they know not God and they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is America's Christ? He's one that forgives. He's one that loves. Everybody. They say, well, Jesus, he didn't love. He loves the person. He hates the sin. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Sin is not just something like cancer that just attacks a person. Sin is a choice people make. It's who you are. If you love sin, you've chosen that sin because you love that sin. Reason people don't have victory in most cases is because they haven't learned to hate that sin and avoid it and run from it. Because they still like it. The reason they're called sinners is because they're the ones doing the sin. They're the sinners. And they still are sinners because they choose to be. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be with vengeance on those who obey not the gospel, that have chosen to continue to walk in their own stubborn and rebellious ways. And make a big distinction. Oh, we're just all sinners. I'm just a saved sinner. Well, that's just an antichrist sinner. The Bible says that he claimed to cleanse us from our sins. He calls us to repent and to turn from our evil ways and turn back to His ways. The Antichrist Jesus says, oh, you're all right. You're just forgiven. The little stupid little bumper sticker, Christians are just forgiven sinners. How ignorant. How shallow. Right here, the Bible says, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his forgiven sinners. No, it says when he comes to be glorified in his saints. If you're still a forgiven sinner, you're part of the Antichrist system. If you're a saint, it's because you're a part of the kingdom of God. If we could just keep in mind how simple this is. You either love this world or you've given your heart to follow Jesus. Sinners are the world. Saints are of the kingdom of God. You don't ever stumble? Sure. We're still tempted, but I'm not bound. I've been set free. I still am tempted. Just like everyone else, we can get right back up again. I'm not going to just bow down to the excuse that, oh, you're just a sinner, and we're just going to have to live with it. There isn't a saint. That's not the way of the saint. The saint is to rise up and overcome those things. When Jesus comes, it's going to be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God. That's a complete different image of the picture you would get if you would listen to the Jesus of this America. They don't fit because they're not the same. And one of them is going to prevail. You can follow the Jesus of the image of humanity, the one they like to concoct, or the Jesus of the Word of God. Everywhere I see when Jesus comes back, there's going to be death and destruction everywhere. And it's going to be against rebellious mankind. Against them. There's going to be a war. And it ain't going to be no tiptoeing around war where we're afraid to shoot an enemy. If you're an enemy, you're going to die. Bible says out of his mouth there's a two-edged sword. And it's going to slay those who are not following him. Not going to be afraid to shoot. It's going to be a war. The Bible mentions about that, the battle of Armageddon. I don't know all about it, but it said the blood's going to run to the horses' bridles. We talk about floods. They're talking about floods, the Mississippi flood. And it's got out of its banks. Water might be 5 or 6 feet deep. Can you imagine streets with blood running 5 or 6 feet deep because of all the dead people? That's the kind of Jesus that's coming back. And you better be on the right side of that fence. Don't be overcome by this world. Don't be content with thinking that you've got it all figured out. There ain't none of us safe right now. None of us. We've got our own hands full to fight the battle that we're in. If you fall asleep or get content living the way you are right now, you're going to wake up on the wrong side of that battle. If your Jesus has left you feeling all comfortable and all content, it's not the Jesus that the Word of God talks about. Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why do I say America's Jesus is Antichrist? Because they teach you that, oh, don't make people afraid of God. Well, people, you better be afraid of God. Because whenever He splits those skies and you get a glimpse of Him, you're going to be afraid. You're going to be afraid. Why? Because you're a simple little piece of clay that He made. And you're going to see the glory of God revealed. And everyone that ever saw that fell on their face and thought they was going to die. The angels, when they see that, fall on their face. and worship Him. That's the Jesus that's returning. It's not going to be some buddy-buddy that you make a pal with, that you just hang around with. It's going to be a fearful thing. The children of Israel, they didn't even want to hear His voice shaken from the mountain. They said, Moses, you go up there. We don't even want to hear that. Because they were scared to death of it. What kind of Jesus are you worshiping? If it's not this one, it's an Antichrist Jesus. They used to sing a song, I don't know if I can remember it. They took it from here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. We can just start here anywhere. Verse 10. The same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the forgiven sinners. No, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. We know what a sharp sickle is. We got mowers and hay binds. They used to have sickles. You've seen the picture of the man with the hooked knife with a pole on it. He used to have one of the size, and Dad used to send me out into the bullpen or the dog pen and say, cut all the weeds in it. And here that them weeds, I was a little runt until I was about 16 or 18. And I'd look up there and them 10-foot tall weeds, and he'd send me out this big old sickle, say, cut weeds. And you take a sickle and you swing it hard and you cut, and those weeds fall over. You cut them down. This sickle. The Son of Man. I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. This is the Jesus that you have imagined that you have a relationship with, that you have a, what is the word they use? That you, he just wants to have a relationship with you. He just wants to be your buddy. Is your buddy carrying a sharp sickle? Is your buddy the American Jesus? The Antichrist Jesus? The world's Jesus? Or is he the Jesus of the Son of God? Is he the Jesus with a sharp sickle? And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." He comes trampling, not the vineyards where the grapes of wrath are stored. How's that? What is that song? For my eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. He's trampling out the vengeance where the grapes of wrath are stored. This is the Jesus of the Bible. Whenever he's trampling out a vineyard, that means he's got the grapes in a big old vat and he's stomping on them, mashing them. That's how they make wine in some places, or they stomp those grapes until the juices flow out of there and they have their grape juice. There's a hole in the bottom of the vat and it comes draining out. And God aligns that with what's going to happen on the judgment day. But those little grapes are going to be little men. Not a pretty picture. It's no wonder people don't like to think that way. But whether you like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. And all the pretending and all of our own imaginations and all of our thoughts are going to all vanish away, and this is what's going to happen. You can have whatever you want figured out in your own mind. You can deceive yourself if you want to, but you're only deceiving yourself. You better line up with the God of this book and forget your own imagination. Forget about whatever Jesus you would like to have. And that's all the Antichrist Jesus is. The Antichrist Jesus is a God that men would like to have, made to please them, made to comfort them. And he's gaining power in this world. And though all the world line up and say, "This is the Jesus we want to serve us," when the Jesus, the Christ, returns, they'll all be gathered together in that great vat, and he'll stomp out the vengeance of the wrath of God upon them. And the smoke of their torment, this is the patience of the saints in verse 11. Where am I? Thrust in thy sickle in verse 15 and reap, for the time is come of thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another vessel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Think the earth's getting bad? You know why? Because it's getting ripe. It's getting ripe. We're living in the time. The earth is getting ripe. Say, oh, I've heard that all my life. But you know, one of these days it's going to be just ripe enough. I heard that 50 years ago. Well, it wasn't quite ripe enough, but it's getting there, and a little more every day. We've been watching for the raspberries and the blackberries and the mulberries to start to ripen so that people can go pick them. Well, they find one here and there that's ripe enough. They're not ripe enough, all of them. One day they're going to be. And after it's ripe, what do? They fall to the ground and rot. When this earth is ripe enough, the Lord's going to thrust in His sickle, and it's time for the judgment day. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. I don't know how long that is. 600 feet is a furlong. 181 miles. Thank you. Blood flowing. Bridle of a horse, about 5 foot deep, 181 miles long. Smile. God loves you. Don't worry about that. You might drive someone away from God. Go be their buddy. Don't tell them about that kind of a God. All you're doing is making them ripe. Making them a little riper. And it's liable to be somebody's blood, including your own, that helped make up part of that river. Because they were taught about a false Christ. And when the Christ came, of who the Bible is speaking is going to come, they missed him. Just like the Pharisees missed him because they were looking for a different Jesus. About four different groups came up to us last night, all saying, your message is all wrong. You're scaring people away. You're making it hard for us to be Christians and to lead them to the Lord. We're trying to warn men about the wrath of God to come and to tell them to flee from that wrath. We're trying to tell them that we know about the terror of the Lord and to run from it. And they're telling them, oh, don't worry. The Jesus we serve would never do that. Group after group. You're doing it all wrong. You need to be talking about the love. They're getting a wrong picture of who Jesus is. Yeah, He's love. He already gave Himself once. He already gave you the opportunity to repent. That's mercy. That's love. When He returns again, it's going to be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who know not and obey not. Don't get smug. Don't get content. Don't think we're the only ones. Think the Lord's coming. And I better prepare myself. I better walk worthy so that I might be counted worthy by God to escape this wrath. America's Jesus is Antichrist because it's painting a different picture of who Christ is than the one the Bible's talking about that's going to return. Father, help us, Lord, not to be deceived by our own wicked hearts, not to fall prey to this constant barrage of men's own imaginations, their own dreams and concoctions of a God that they want. But help us see the reality of the God of heaven. Lord, we know, Lord, You are of mercy, full of mercy and grace. And Lord, we thank You for the graciousness You have towards those who will turn, forsake this world and follow You. Help us be counted among that number, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.